Good morning, everybody. God bless you all. It's a privilege for me to be one more here sharing the word of God with you. And it's a subject that I really like. I really enjoy talking about. I have been thinking during the service about the songs, about the testimonies, and about the church, globally speaking. And it's a subject that needs to be addressed today. It's called evangelism. Okay? I don't know what you think is evangelism. I don't know exactly if you have experience or you don't. But just today with me, just be patient, be open-minded, and we're going to be reading the Bible and sharing a couple of stories, and we're going to think about it, okay? Do we have the first? Yeah. So, what, why, and how? We're going to try to address the subject of evangelism, and we're going to do it in these three parts, okay? First of all, I would like to make a kind of disclaimer, okay? What I'm going to say today, or what I'm going to preach, or what I'm going to share, it's not just for the people who are in this room. I'm believing that God wants to take this message and everything that we speak in the church, in this church, outside of these four walls, okay? Why? Because we put it on internet. That's one of the main reasons. The other reason is I believe that there's people that they need to listen to this message, but they will listen it through you, okay? So we are here to learn from each other. We need to learn from the Bible and take that message and pass it on, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so evangelization. It simply means to preach the gospel of Jesus. Okay? But to understand the true meaning of evangelization, we need to take a closer look to the word, okay, itself. So, for those who speak all English, right? I don't. I speak John English. It comes from the mix of two words, right? So God spells, so as you say in the screen, it comes from good and spell from news. It's a spell, it's like a tale or story or something like that, okay? If we go to the Greek, when it was originally written, right, it's something like evangelium, okay? So evangelism is like the action. It's when you do that, okay? It's the action of sharing, preaching, passing on the good news. Okay, and what's the good news? That Jesus was born, he died for sinners, and he rose, and he justifies those who believe in him. Very easy, amen? Now, what is interesting about the evangelism is that God ordained that the evangelization needs to be carried out by people. It's something that it can be put in a jar and sell it or give it for free. It's something that it needs to be person to person, okay? It's the desire of God for his people, his church, to bring this message to the whole world. And if it's possible from person to person, nowadays we have websites, we have ministries that they focus on the issue of spreading the good news of Jesus around the world, and they are doing fantastic. But it's very important that you grasp the idea that if you are Christian, you need to pass it on. Okay, it's not that difficult. If you have been saved, then you can tell the story. Amen. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 28:18. Goes like this. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" One of the easiest ways of catching the main idea of a verse is that you focus on the verb. So if we focus on these verses, we see that go therefore, okay, go, the verb is go. So it means that we need to go, we need to move, we need to get out of our comfort zone, we need to move from one place to another, okay? It implicates that we need to move, that we need to do something, okay? And another word that is a key word is the word that says therefore, okay? If I read the Bible in Spanish, it's not literally translated like this. It says something like, something like, all authority has been given to me, Jesus says, now you go, as a command, okay? But when we see that therefore implies like a cause and a reaction. So the cause is that, yes, he has all the authority, because he's a whole authority that includes us, we need to go. Do we understand that? So he has made us, he has set us free, as we were singing before, with the Amazing Grace song, and now he commands us to go, right? I would like to share also Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. It's put it like this, but thanks be to God that you were once slave of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become a slave of righteousness. So surprise, we are being set free, but we are still slave.
Interesting.
We have all the freedom, but to serve, yeah. To serve him, right? Now, at this point of the preaching, now you start thinking like, yes, this kind of preaching, evangelization, like, yeah, he died for you. How come the glorious God, he dies? We need to go, you know, and this is the part that we're supposed to feel guilty, you know, and just go to the world. No, it's not as that. It's not as simple as that, okay? The main problem is, like, we need to understand that it is not about the places we go, it is not about the people we're going to talk to, it is not about the quantity of how much we're going to work. No, it's not about that. It's about of the fact that we are doing something. It doesn't matter how much, it doesn't matter how many people you share the message with, it doesn't matter how far you go, okay? It's about to just sharing the message, okay? And we can really miss the point very easily. There are many ministries around the world that they are doing very well, but when you start focusing in what is not the priority, then things are coming to second place, takes that privilege. And it is not about the quantity. It is not, if we see all the quantities, I mean, we cannot make it physically speaking. I'm gonna give you an example. I'm gonna put it like this with a joke. So a lady was on the street, right? And he was working on a campaign for smoking awareness. And then the lady stopped a man who was smoking at the park, and she asked the gentleman, "Excuse me, sir, can I make you a question?" And he said, "Yes. For how long have you been smoking?" And he replies, "For 20 years." "Right. How many cigarettes do you smoke a day?" And he replies, "2 packs of cigarettes." That's like 40 cigarettes, something like that. Then the lady says this, "Do you know if you had not smoked, that money could have been put in a step-up interest saving account, and after accounting for compound interest for the past 15 years, you could have by now bought a Ferrari?" Wow, the man says. Then he says, "Wait a second, can I ask you a question?" "Yes." And then the guy says, "Have you ever smoked?" She says, "No." And the guy says, "Well, then where is your Ferrari?"
are thinking about quantity and how much we can do, but it's not about that. It's about the benefits. It's about the health, like in the story.
Yeah.
Like sharing the word of God is a sign, a symptom of a healthy Christian life.
Amen.
That's the point of evangelism. It's not about going there or going to Aruba, to Belfast. No, it's not about that. It's about be able just to share what God has done in you, okay? And what he said and what Jesus did on the cross, okay? So let's keep that in mind. The benefits of evangelism are countless. I mean, friends are being set free, relatives come to Christ, relationships are restored when people come to Christ. And so on. It's amazing. So yes, it's for sure that God is interested to you to speak to others because he loves them also. Do we believe that? Do we believe the gospel? Do we believe that there's only salvation in the name of Jesus? You know what Romans chapter 3:23 says? It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Do we really believe? Do we really believe that people can go to heaven or get eternal life only by faith in Jesus? Our Jesus, do we really believe that? It's important. I mean, evangelism is one of those things that makes you consider those transcendental questions, you know, philosophical. Why are we here? What's next? Why are we supposed to be here? Where are we going after here? It's true. I have seen the evidence. Do you really believe that the sin causes to separate from God? Do we believe that? We can see the evidence. Look at the countries, the wars, the sickness. But look at in a minor scale, people that we know, they're lost, hopeless, on addictions, on unhealthy lifestyles. It's true. You can see the evidence of sin in this world. And it's in that very moment when these words get its real sense. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the what. That's the first part, okay? Now, why? Why do we need to evangelize? Well, we have been saying that it's good for us as Christians. It's good for the people that receive the message. But there are a few other reasons, right? I would like to read John chapter 15. I think that's not, I'm not sure if yes, it's the next slide. In John chapter 15, the verses 1, 2, and then we jump to the verse 8, right? It's in the same context. Jesus says something very interesting. He says this, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." And the verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." So evangelism, when you share the good news, it brings glory to God. It's a fruit. It's the fruit of a soul that gives thanks to his Savior because he has saved them from the condemnation, from the consequences of the sins. Amen? Now, I chose this picture because it shows something very important. But before that, I'll explain you about the picture. I'm going to tell you a story. Something that happened to me like 3 weeks ago. I was in a friend's house. We were having tea, and then we were having a chat on the backyard. And he has a big apple tree. And this, for one reason or another, this apple tree is very fruitful. It's all the time bringing fruit. And the tree, when the tree is full of fruits, you know, you see the apple tree and the branches full of apples. And I was beholding the apple tree, and then I spot something that the more apples they get, the branches, the more they bend. Okay?
Okay.
And I was looking at how the branches were bending because of the much fruit, and I said to myself, it looks like painful. It looks like painful, you know? And but then when the fruits fall to the ground, then because the wood is kind of flexible, then the trees, the branches go again to its position, right? Which feels like or looks like a relief, you know? And I was thinking, that's exactly the picture what is happening with us sometimes as Christians. That's exactly the same picture. We are saved, we start living our life as in the first love, as the Bible says, right? And then we start bringing fruit, we start to live a fruitful Christian life, we start to share the word, right? But in that process, because we are branches, right? And we are bringing the fruit, then we start to bend, right? And then when we bend, we start to feel like the cost of living a Christian life. And then people start mocking us. People that were friends with us start to say no when we want to meet them. We start to feel rejection. And we start to feel things like that, you know. We start to feel the cost of being a disciple. We start to be challenged by the word of God to start skipping certain things. Things that we started doing in the past when we were slaves to sin. Now we are servants of Jesus and we need to take a decision. And it's painful. Let's be honest. That's painful. It doesn't feel good. Right? But here's the promise. Here's the promise. I would like to tell you to the same passage quickly, right? And if you read the verse 2, it says like, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So what we need to do, it's like we need to hold on to God. We need to wait. We need to pray. It's a process. It's part of living a Christian life. Let me tell you this, if this is your story because it's my story, just have faith, just resist as the Bible says, you know, because we have the promise that the Father will come and somehow God will intervene and he will shape situations so we can bear more fruit. Amen?
Amen.
I would like to touch the part of the attitude. When we want to share the word, Matthew 9 verse 35, it shows a clear picture of what is to be a good evangelist and live in the passion for the lost. If we read that verse, let me find it here in the Bible. We see Jesus, the best evangelist, and he shows a clear picture with his life and example. What does it look like? And says like this, the verse says, and Jesus went through all the cities, the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. So he moved from one place to another, as we were talking before. He go, all right? He went out of his comfort zone, right? Different people, maybe even different language, right? Different region. He reached them. He moved from one place to another. It says also that he teach in their synagogues and proclaim the gospel. So he presented the gospel to everyone. And at the same time, it says that, and heal every disease and every affliction. Now, we cannot do that. We are not him, because he had all the power to do this on his will. But we can help others. We can pray for others. And I believe that many of us have seen the glory of God when we pray for people. We have seen people getting healed. Amen? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Amen. He dies a criminal death on a cross. So if you want to preach the gospel, sometimes nowadays it looks like you are a criminal already. I was having a chat with a friend on a car, and we were talking about the taxi drivers, how these guys, you know, some of them, they talk to you and they keep talking during the trip. And we were having a discussion of how would be a nice strategy just to stop the conversation, because sometimes they just talk too much. And she said to me, like, what about if we tell them Jesus loves you? And it's true. I mean, like, if some things happen, like when you say to somebody, Jesus loves you, or God loves you, or you start sharing the gospel. But it's a war. That happened because the reality, it is a war. And with this, I would like to move forward to my next point. And it's, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do the evangelism? How are we going to share the good news? Okay. Let me tell you about the practical passion. Number one, okay, we're going to pray for the souls, okay? If you're a Christian, you need to evangelize, you need to preach the word. Why? Because Christianity is like mafia. Once you get in, you can't get out. Easy as that. The Bible says that we have a mark in our foreheads of the Holy Spirit. We have been sealed.
Right.
So in the spiritual world, things happening. Things are happening in the spiritual world. People get uncomfortable when we start to mention the name of Jesus. We speak at the beginning what happened. We were sinners. We were bound to sin, slave. Now we are free. Right? They are still bound to sin. When you start sharing with them, it won't be easy. It won't be easy. But first, number one, we pray for the souls. So prayer is the key thing. It's one of the key things to success in evangelism. Okay? When we pray, why? Because when we pray, we make an act of acknowledgement before the spiritual world and before God that in our human strength, this that we are praying for is impossible, but for Him is possible. Amen. That's the wonders of prayer. So we pray for it, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says something interesting. Let me find it quickly for us. Look what it says. It says that, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we don't need to, that gives me hopes. We don't need to feel bad when somebody rejects us. It's not about us. We are just messengers. There was a guy, a young Christian. He was a preacher and in a small village. He arrived from another church and he was evangelizing on that small village. And he asked to his pastor a couple of months after he was evangelizing, I have a problem. I don't see anything happening. Like, I have only few people have responded to the gospel, like a very small number. But I don't know, I feel like something is wrong. And then this experienced pastor asked him, let me ask you a question. When you preach the gospel, do the people reject you? Yes. And when you preach the gospel, have you have any feedback? I said, yeah, of course. I said, well, then you are doing good. Because if everybody accepts the gospel that we're preaching, then there is something wrong. Because the Bible says that the people that receive the gospel, many are called, but not everybody are chosen. Amen? So, Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38 says something interesting. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into his harvest." So he is willing to do it. God is willing to send his laborers into his harvest. And it also gives you some perspective that you can be involved in sharing the good news, although you don't speak. We just pray for it. Amen. I can tell you the story of my young aunt. I have an aunt, which I love very much. And I really wanted for her to come to Christ, because she's such a lovely person, but she wasn't Christian. And I was praying all the time for her. And then certain things very bad happened in her life. My cousin passed away of cancer. She was very depressed. And I was not living in the same country with her. But I was praying for her. You know what happened after 3 years? God sent a pastor from a church that somehow he received a revelation that she was appointed to receive the word of God. And because he got that vision, he went boldly and he preaches to her. And she started crying. She received the word and now she's Christian. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We don't need to be there. You don't need to talk to them, but please, we pray. Amen. The point number two is with witness of Jesus in us. As I said at the beginning, if you are saved already, you have a story to tell. And it's a wonderful story, because it's a story of your life. It's a story of how you pass from darkness to light, from being condemned to being free, okay? If we see, for example, one of my favorite stories from the Bible, in John chapter 4, the woman in the well. It's so powerful. Let me explain it quickly. Look where it goes like. I think we all know this story. This woman, she was living not a perfect life according to the society, in moral terms. She was collecting water from the well and then had an encounter with Jesus. The verse 28 says that after Jesus spoke with her, right, because he was a living gospel, Jesus had an encounter with her. So the woman, says the verse 28, left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I have did. Can this be the Christ?" So she started to proclaim the gospel right away to us. She started to drag people closer to Christ. And look what happened in verse 42. It says that they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." So your testimony can have a big impact. These people knew who were this woman, what he did, and they saw the change, the 180 degrees change in her life, and that's automatically starts drawing people to Christ. We can do the same. You don't need to be an expert on theology. You don't need to be preacher, or you don't need to be somebody that even remember the Bible verses, but just share with love about your own life, what Jesus have done, okay? When I became Christian, I remember it was a shock for my circle of influence, because I was a very terrible person. I loved to party too hard. I was lying. I was living a very crazy life. I was playing super loud heavy metal. I was doing a lot of bad things. But you know what? God saved me. He saved me. He changed my life. And when people saw that, they were like this. They just couldn't believe it. They just couldn't believe it. And then people start asking me, "What happened to you? You speak different, you look different, you act different. Like, what happened to you? And then I told him, yeah, it was Jesus. I remember like 3 months ago, I was in a kitchen in a town called Cookstown.
That is
just by coincidence. And I was in that kitchen, and I was working with other people making a presentation of new products for the company. And there was a guy who works in that place, and suddenly he was looking at me like, and I say, "Why are you so happy?" I was like, "What do you mean?" Yeah, you're always smiling, and you know, chef are like grumpy and stuff, you know. I can't tell you now, and I was busy chopping my onions. I said, "Come on, tell me." "No, you are not ready." I was chopping my onions. "Oh, come on, tell me." I said, "Okay, I'm Christian. I love Jesus. He changed me." And he was like, "Which church do you go to?" "I go to Kingsway Church." "Where is that?" "Don't worry, that's too far." That was it. Somehow we start talking about the gospel, and it was because of my testimony. You have my story to tell. Mm-hmm. God changed your life already. You share with them. Okay? Pray to God. Step number one, remember, pray to God for yourself also to give you wisdom, to give you the proper words. The point number three is that we, as soon as we can, we present the gospel in a simple way. Okay? In the chapter 9, verse 20, the Bible says that right away after Paul had an encounter with Jesus, he was blind for 3 days. But when he recovered the sight, then he started automatically to preach the gospel. It was like a cause and an effect. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a preacher at that time. Yes, he was skilled. He had some experience preaching in synagogues. But he wasn't a preacher. But right away, it was a cause and effect. Why? Because he couldn't stop it. Because he loved the God. He loved the Lord. It was something that when you are a Christian, it becomes part of our nature. We can't just stop it of blessing his name and speaking about him. So just let it flow, okay? But be prepared. We present the gospel whenever we can and in a clear and simple way. Amen? It can be a challenge, yes. It can be a challenge. There are plenty of people that already hear the gospel in this and many other countries. But just complement that with your testimony. Just give it some sense. Give it, explaining what it means to be free, what it means to be born again, what it means to be free from sin, what it means to be a son or a daughter of God. Just share with them your testimony and preach to them, okay, with wisdom and in a very simple way. I can tell you this story as I am about to finish. There is no right moment to preach the gospel, amen. There's not really a right moment. Don't expect for all the circumstances to be just perfect. I remember approximately like 7 years ago, I was leading a cell group back home, working with the church, and comes the time of Christmas, something around these days, you know. And we had the last service for the year with the cell group, and they invited a couple. They were in their 60s, and I remember. I remember on that day, I didn't want to preach or to lead at a meeting or no. I just wanted to watch a movie or just rest, you know, because it was on a Saturday and I was tired from working the whole week. But we had a meeting as a servant, you know, as a trying to be a faithful slave. I said, "Okay, God, let's do it." And I pray, and we were talking about who is Jesus, who is God, who is Jesus, why he is the Son of God. And we were chatting about the passage in which Jesus was on the boat, and then the storm arose, and they were about to die, and how Jesus took the control, and he commanded the winds and the waves. And I wasn't really like preaching, you know, like I was just sharing like a normal message. And then at the end of the of the message, he asked, does anybody want to give his life to the Lord? And there was this gentleman, the husband of this woman, of the couple, and instantaneously he said, I do. I want to give my life to Christ. And his wife was like that. I wasn't aware of what was happening in that moment. And then I said, yes. And but he was so straightforward. I asked him, why you want to give your life to Jesus, if I can ask you? He said, because he is the Lord. I can see it now. Now everything has sense for me. You know. And you know what happened? His wife started crying. And she started crying and crying. I said, but what did I say? You know, what's happening? And after she calmed down, we gave her some water. She said, I will pray for him, you know, like. Years. I start feeling like that woman, you know, I need some water. 25 years. She was praying for that moment in which he will give his life to the Lord. Wow. 25 years. It's not about you, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. I think that's a song. it's everything about him, you know. It's not, we are just carrying a message, you know. We don't know how God can write straight and beautifully in those poor lines of life of people. Just whenever you have time, just share the gospel, present the message in a very simple way. And the last point is like, pray for people. Pray for people. Just pray for people. It's also interesting in the Gospel of Mark that he speaks about his last word of Jesus with his disciples, and he addresses in a different way. It's the same Matthew 28, but it's in Mark 16, the very end. He said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will be no harm to them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will be recovered. It's not that the believer is gonna do all at the same time, but they will be a manifestation of the new life of Jesus in that person, and that's you and me. So we just need to pray for people. Never ever underestimate the power that is in you. It's the same power that creates heaven and earth. It's the same spirit that commands to the mortar to take its shapes, and everything came to exist. It's the same power, it's the same spirit, it's the same Jesus. And it's in you, and it's in me, and we need to share it. The world needs it. Amen. Amen. I would like to invite the worship team to sing one last song before Tommy comes forward and share with us a little bit more.